This morning, we're going to carry on from where we stopped the last time. And we started looking at a new series that I've called The Holy Spirit. So for today and the remainder of this month, and probably 1 or 2 weeks into next month, we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit. And I believe that last time I mentioned that in our Christian walk, that's one of our choir guys at the back. So just bear with them. That's Apostle Max. So he's just practicing his preaching there. So I mentioned last week that we're going to be looking quite a lot, or should I say deeply, into the person of the Holy Spirit. I mentioned earlier, I believe last week, that in our walk as believers, a lot of people are familiar with God the Father. You know, when you talk about God being our Father, everybody knows, everybody's familiar with that. When you talk about Jesus, everybody knows Jesus. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, who's the third person in the Godhead, I believe he's the most misunderstood person in the Godhead. And why do I say that? I say that because when you mention the Holy Spirit sometimes, some people go, oh, none of that for me. Because they often think, some people think he's like a spooky person. It's like they associate the Holy Spirit with, you know, when you go to YouTube and you like search for Holy Spirit and all in YouTube, you see these videos and you see people falling and you see sometimes people acting strangely. These things happen when the Holy Spirit comes on people. But people just associate automatically, oftentimes, spookiness with the Holy Spirit. So that's one extreme. On the other hand, even if people don't associate spookiness with the Holy Spirit, and they're like, okay, I know the Holy Spirit is like real. The other extreme is people associate the Holy Spirit or the move of the Holy Spirit or the workings of the Holy Spirit to certain people, maybe to pastors, to evangelists, or to people who they think are really spiritual. So it's like before you can have any understanding of the Holy Spirit, you must be this person that is a prophet or a pastor who walks like really slowly. And when people say hello to you, you're like, hello, in a very low voice. And you don't, that's the other extreme. But really, the Holy Spirit is not any of those things. Jesus said a number of things about the Holy Spirit, but we'll look at those later. In John chapter 16, when he was about to leave, he was about to be crucified. He had been with his disciples for about 3 years. I mean, he had paid their bills. There was once a tax man came to Jesus and to disciples and said, it's time to pay up your tax. Peter said, well, we don't have any money here. What do we do? Jesus now says, okay, you just go to the river, catch a fish, open the mouth, and you find money there. And Peter did that, and he was amazed at, what? Is this how it is? There was a time that there was no food at all, and Jesus said, okay, we've got 5,000 people here to feed. Do we have enough food to feed them? And they're like, no, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he multiplies that, and he feeds everybody. When Peter's mother-in-law was ill in Mark chapter 1, Jesus enters the house and he just touches her. She becomes well automatically. I mean, so can you imagine Jesus being around you like that? How would you have felt? These guys felt like on top of the world. I mean, it was like, man, we can take the world, just whatever it is. Jesus is with us here. So that's how they felt. Then Jesus drops the bombshell on them. He says, look, guys. Didn't say look, guys, I'm paraphrasing, by the way. He says, look, I am going to be crucified and you will not see me any longer. And they were hit with panic. It's like, my goodness, probably Peter was saying, Jesus, you must be kidding. I left my profession. Who's going to pay HMRC when they send me those red letters? I mean, do you guys get those letters from them? I'm sure you don't. Who's going to pay my bills when these electricity people send me like this funny letter saying that your electricity bill has gone up by 100%? I can't go to river. What's the name of that river? I can't go to River Avon and just, you know, catch the thing that they would. So they panicked that who's going to look after us? We're done for. And Jesus and Peter began to say, no, you are not going to die, Jesus. I am going to make sure nothing happens to you. And probably he might have said that out of love for Christ, but probably he was also thinking that, man, if this guy goes, he's going to pay our bills, man. You better hang around, please. Now, why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because Jesus understood this in the lives of the disciples. And he said something to them that is relevant to us now. He said to them, I am going to send somebody else who is going to be with you always, all the time. He's not just going to be there during special events at church. He's not going to be there when you are at a meeting and you begin to get a fuzzy feeling. He's not going to be there when you're just doing a miracle crusade. No, those things are good. He's going to be there with you on a daily basis to deal with those things that affect you on a daily basis, those things that you might term as being casual, those things that bother you, those things that you might think, well, does God have time for this? I'm sure God is quite busy. He's trying to sort out the war in Ukraine. I mean, how can I be concerned about my little concerns about? But God is concerned. So he said the thing that he's going to do is this. He will send the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit is with us all the time. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because God has given us the Holy Spirit to be with us, to help us along life with the everyday things that bother us or the everyday things that we need to know. Do you understand? So the Holy Spirit is not out there somewhere or for special occasions. He's there all the time. Do you understand what I mean? So that is kind of like the background, so to speak. So last week I said, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us is he enables us to live, to experience the supernatural side of the Christian faith. And what I mentioned last week is that there's a tendency that we might just come to church on a Sunday like this, which is great, sing, which is fantastic. I love to do all that. Read our Bibles, good. And that's where it ends. But God is saying, no, that's not where it ends at all. There is a supernatural world out there that you can experience by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's certain things that are spiritual in nature that physical things cannot deal with. Do you understand? And he says the Holy Spirit is there. He's here to help us to experience that supernatural side. But I spoke about that last week. But this week, for the next 25 to 30 minutes, I'm looking at something, another aspect of the Holy Spirit, and I've called it supernatural help. Supernatural help. In the coming weeks, we will look at the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the Bible. The Holy Spirit helps you to understand work as well. And it's these things that we do every day that the Holy Spirit is part of. We'll look at that in detail. And I believe that at the end of this series, we will remove the spookiness associated with the Holy Spirit. And we will know that the Holy Spirit is right there by our side, helping us in every little way. I think there's one that really comes to my mind often, and I'll start in a minute. And I was at work. I think I've shared the story before. I was at work, and that job that I was on, I think I was on it for a short time, very high pressured. And I had a couple of people working with me in the team. And when I was employed to do the job, I mean, I don't know why I told the manager, they said, oh, can you do this? I said, I didn't say it this way. I was like, man, easy. Can you do this? Not a problem at all. How about this? Sort it out. So it was like, this guy has arrived to really help us to change things here. And the job started, and it was like really good. I was like doing all the meetings. Then there was a thing we were meant to build, software. And we're building it. I clicked play, the thing refused to work. My employer comes to me and he says, how is it going? When do you think you have this bit done? I said, give us, by next week it should be done. You know, next week. Next week arrives. I've tried everything. I know the guys that work for me as well, they're looking to me because, in quote, I'm meant to be the expert. And their job, depends on it because we're all contractors. And it's this kind of place that you can just get there in the morning and they just say, thank you very much. Can I have your laptop? And you're gone. Second week came, my boss. Hi, how are you doing? Is it done now? I'm like, no. The third week. Now, I think the fourth week is, he now sent an email, is it done? Because I didn't think he wanted to embarrass me. And I had to say no. And I began to feel the heat. That, man, you better do something or you're out of here. And I was also thinking, oh man, I have to pay my mortgage. These council tax people have sent me this, their bill. My kids, I need to buy a bicycle or whatever they're expecting. So if I lose this job now, it's not going to be exactly palatable. And I remember that Jesus said in John chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. And I said, what am I doing? I went to the toilet, the men's toilet, went into a cubicle, closed the door behind me, and I knelt down. And I said, Jesus, you said the Holy Spirit would teach us all things. I have this problem. I don't know how to sort this thing out. Holy Spirit, what is the solution to this thing? What do I need to do? In Jesus' name. And straight away, a thought came to my mind. I was like, this is quite interesting. And it clicked. And I woke, I didn't wake up, I wasn't sleeping. I got out of the toilet, I shut the door, flushed, although I didn't use it, I washed my hands. So they don't say, hang on, that guy didn't wash his hands. I washed my hands and I came out, I went back to my computer, I entered the thing, enter, and it worked. And my team guys came and said, what did you do? In my mind, I said, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Apostle. So what am I saying? That's a very simple example. And I can tell you since that day, I mean, I don't really stress myself. When things like that happen, I just ask the Holy Spirit. So what am I saying here? The Holy Spirit is presence to help us with our everyday life, not just, you know, things that are out there, but we'll talk about that as we go along next week. So today I'm just going to highlight a number of things, and I've said I'm going to be talking about supernatural help from the Holy Spirit today. So I'll run through a number of points. The first point I'm going to run through is from Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. I'll read. It says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So the first point I want to make this morning is that the Holy Spirit gives us supernatural comfort. Supernatural comfort. Now, what does that mean? Do you know that there are times that you might be going through pain, emotionally, there are times that you might just be really, you might be having like a really hard time. And it just seems like, man, I'm just worn out with life. Life is just hitting me from all angles. And when you wake up in the morning, sometimes you're tired. And it's like, man, I haven't even done anything this morning and I'm tired. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comforts us supernaturally. Now, what does that mean? That means that irrespective of how you're feeling, even if your circumstances are like really pushing down on you and you're sad and you can't just shake that sadness off, or you're going through stuff that is so difficult and so draining, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit does something in our lives if we're conscious of it. That is, He can come to you and comfort you supernaturally. Now, I'm not quite sure how to explain this because I've experienced it quite a lot. I mean, there are times that I've been like really down. I'm like, man, I just want to lie down in bed and like just, you know, so much going on. Like, man, so much. And I'm like, oh, do I have to go to work today? Like, yes, I think I have to. And I just remember that the comfort of the Holy Spirit is there. And at that point, one just says, Holy Spirit, this is how I'm feeling. I feel like, help me. And at that point, it's as if the Holy Spirit comes and he sits beside you and he puts his arm around you. And he gives you that supernatural comfort. So we see here that in Acts chapter 9, verse 11, that verse 31 that I read, he said something. He said that these guys, the early church, they had peace and they were edified and they were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So these guys realized that, look, if we're going to have an enjoyable Christian life, if we're going to really excel in our Christian work, if we're going to get have all the benefits of being a believer, there is something that we need to tap into. And it is the supernatural comfort of the Holy Spirit. Now, in those days, those guys did not have it easy at all. Nowadays, I think it's slightly easier. In those days, you could be thrown to the lions for being a Christian. In those days, you could be tied up to a stake and burnt. In those days, do you know what they did to Christians sometimes? They would say, okay, imagine someone walking in here with a machine gun and they pointed at you. And they say, we're going to do two things to you, but if you don't want those two things to happen to you, just renounce your faith. Say, I'm not with it, and we'll let you go. They now take these guys, but they don't shoot them because that's too easy. Do you know what they used to do to them? They'll get like a really massive pot, put fire under the pot, fill that pot with oil, heat up the oil, then drop the Christians in there and boil them to death. Or they would tie them to a stake. Or when they were having games in the Colosseum, they'd be like, oh, let's see how lions eat people. Let's get one of those Christian guys. So in those days, when you made the decision to be a Christian, it came with consequences. The way those guys could survive those consequences and still live their lives and not renounce their faith was because they had the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying here is this: there is a power that is available to us. That power can bring such a supernatural comfort to us that it gives us the ability to overcome all the hurt, all the pain that we're feeling. Do you understand what I mean? The supernatural help of the Holy Spirit. And this help is available. I mean, if you look at the world we live in now, you switch on the news, I mean, it's all sorts of things. This person bombed that person. This person killed that person. And you're like, man, this world is a really interesting world. Or probably even in your own life as well. One thing or the other. How do you deal with that? Well, you can say, well, I'm just going to deal with the world with gritted teeth. I can do it on my own, which is fine. But there's another way. You can say, Holy Spirit, help me. So that as you wake up every day and as you go about your daily affairs, you have the comfort of the Holy Spirit bringing comfort to your heart, helping you to really thrive and to enjoy your life as a Christian. So that's supernatural help from the Holy Spirit. So these are things that are available to us on a daily basis. It's not spooky. It's you and the Holy Spirit every day at any point in time. The second thing I'm looking at is, or that one look at today is, the Holy Spirit helps us to know where our lives should go. What do I mean by that? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. I'll read. He reveals our life. He guides us in the ways that God has prepared for us. And if I read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, but as it is written, Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. So the second point here is this. God has given us the Holy Spirit to help direct our lives. Now, what do I mean by that? You might be saying, okay, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to me next year, for example? God, do you want me to live in Bristol? Do you want me to live in London? Do you want me to live in Afghanistan or India? Or what should I do in this particular circumstance? Should I go to University A or University B? What should I do? The Bible says that everything that you need for your life, everything that should happen to you in God's will, the Holy Spirit has it with him like this. Now, what does that mean? That means that, I mean, obviously, God expects us to use our judgment as well. He expects us to reason, to make decisions, to compare options. He expects us to do that. But in doing that as well, there is another way that is available, that even as you make your options, or as you choose your options, or as you project into the future, what's really going to happen to me? What should I do? Should I choose A or B? The Holy Spirit can help you with that. He can. And these are things that are available to each and every one of us. It's not just for prophets, pastors, and apostles and all that. And God will lead you in such a way. And when I say God will lead you, I don't want to make it seem like, oh man, it's so complicated. No. There are times that, even without you knowing, God will just make sure that you're at the right place at the right time. And you might think, oh, this is a coincidence, but actually it's not. But what I'm just saying is being conscious of that, that God has a plan for you. God knows exactly what you need. He knows where you should go. He knows where you should be. So it's not like sometimes hearing God audibly that, you know, an angel appears and it says, my daughter, my son, this is where you should go. That could happen. But apart from that, just normal everyday choices that we make that will affect our lives. I remember about 6 years ago, we were living in West London, and I mean, we were going to our church, the headquarters of this church in London then. I mean, I had a great job in London, our kids were in school. Actually, they had just gotten into like some really nice schools after we had drilled them to study hard. Yeah, she's smiling. Proper drilling. And, you know, life was fine. I mean, I had struggled. I had this job that I really liked and all that. And the church in London was nice. I mean, if you guys have been to the church in London, it's like really nice. And as a pastor in London, forget it. You get into the church, it's like you're almost like royalty, I tell you. But don't tell anybody this. True. You're almost like royalty. It's like you have like a seat in front. It's like, do you want tea or coffee? You know, are you hungry? We've got a place set up in the, you know, and all that. Not like here, which I love, where it's like, man, pastor has like, come and arrange with this guy. I say, why is that mic not working there? Please put the mic here and all those things. I love those things, but I mean, it was a cool life. Do you get what I mean? It was a cool life. Then I was going to work one day on the train in London, and God whispered something to my ears. And what he whispered to my ears was, oh, how would you feel if I asked you to do something else for me? And I like, man, that's, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? And I left it. And I got to our church in London, and our senior pastor now calls me aside. He says, oh, Pastor Benson, can I see my office? I'm like, my goodness, what? Yeah, like the principal calls you. I'm like, okay, I'm here. He now begins to describe to me about Bristol, that this is what God told him about me, about us in Bristol, so on and so forth. And I listened. And I said, thank you very much, sir. And I walked and I left. And in my mind, do you know what I said in my mind? I said that I had just been ordained as a pastor 2 years ago. I said, God, there are pastors here who have been pastors for 20 years. Several of them, over 15. There's pastor this. Choose any one of them to go to Bristol for you. For me, I'm cool. It's true. For me, I'm cool in London. You know? And I left it at that. And I didn't mention a word of it to anybody after that. And I just went about my business and stuff. And when I wake up in the morning, it's like God will just come and sit beside me and whisper, hello, Pastor Benson, how about Bristol? I'm like, what was me? I'm going to work. I mean, I'm going to work. I go to work. And I'm reading, and God will just whisper to me again, Pastor Benson, Bristol is a really nice place. There are loads of people who are waiting for you there. And this went on for months. I'm like, I don't know anyone in Bristol. Man, you know what? Something began to happen to me. A certain kind of love just welled up in my heart for Bristol. And when I would wake up in the morning, it was like, oh, Bristol. Oh, Bristol. I was like, okay, Bristol, here we come. And I said, okay, you know what we're going to do, right? Let me tell my late wife then. And my kids, let me see what their reaction will be. You know what I mean? These are London people, you know what I mean? Bristol's like, oh, that's in the sticks. We're used to London, you know, we're like London people here. And I told her, I said, hello, dear, you know, this is why I think. She said, really? When are we going? I said, when are we going? Aren't you going to like say something else like, how about this, how about that? Or when are we going? Okay, let's tell our kids. We now tell our kids. I think they're about 11 and 14 then. Oh, they were like, oh, nice. Let's go and search on for a house there. Like, that's not what I was really... That's not the script. Now, what am I saying? We came to Bristol. So that was the Holy Spirit intercepting me. Can you imagine if we hadn't come? I would never have met any of you. Maybe Deaconess Remy. Do you understand what I mean? So many things have happened in Bristol, in our lives as a family, and in my personal lives that I would never trade for the world. How did that happen? The Holy Spirit knew exactly where I ought to be, and He intercepted me in that way. Now, yours might not be as dramatic as that. I think maybe mine was slightly dramatic because I needed a bit of convincing. You know, it wasn't an easy decision. You know, packing up your family and moving to a city where you don't know anyone at all. Yours might not be that dramatic, but it might be just, what do I do with this situation that's facing me? You bring it before God and just leave it there. And what God does is He will begin to direct your path. But it's having that initial belief and understanding that God wants to help you to make the right decisions. God has a plan for you and He knows exactly where you should be. He has the plan and He can help you to follow that plan. I'm just going to mention one more point and we will pray. So I'm talking about supernatural help of the Holy Spirit here. I've said He comforts us supernaturally. The second thing I mentioned is that He knows the plans of God for our lives. And even in the little things, He can direct us. It doesn't have to be dramatic at all. Do you understand what I mean? Now, the last point I want to just make tonight. Did I say tonight? You know, that just tells you that my night is my daughter is smiling because she knows often that my own morning starts. I'm not going to embarrass myself here. Let me tell you a story. I was in my study once. I have this like habit that I'm not going to like recommend. And this habit is, when I get into my study, time disappears. That's what I'll say. Not in a good way. Time disappears. And she walked into my study this day. I don't know what time it was. She was now like, oh, Dad, when are you going to bed? And I tried to just mumble something just to, you know, get her to just leave. I'm like, what are you doing awake as well? She said, no, that's not what I'm asking, Dad. When are you going to bed? It's 2 in the morning. I said, I just have a number of things to do. Then she grabs my hand, pulls me from the chair, drags me to my room, puts me in the room. I'm like, oh, I haven't had dinner. I want to go downstairs to have something to eat. Can't imagine. She says, it's proper Connery. And she looks at me and says, stay there, Dad. I'll go down and get something. And don't come out of your room. Can you imagine that? Doing that to pastor. Eh? Anyway, I don't know why I digressed there. Coming back to the main point. So the last thing I want to mention about the Holy Spirit this morning is from Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. Then after this, we'll pray. Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The third thing that the Holy Spirit does for us is He produces the characteristics of Christ in us. He helps us to, from within us, behave in the way we want to behave. He helps us to overcome personal flaws. And the beauty of this is this. You know, when I come across people sometimes and they tell me, oh, Pastor Benson, I have like this really bad habit. And they say they do this. And they're like, what should I do about it? And I look at them sometimes and they're expecting something revolutionary. They probably say, oh, you know what? Thank you for this problem that you've spoken about. You need to go on a fast for 7 days. Speak to no one. Then I'll switch to King James English. Speak to no one. Eat no food. Read your Bible for 30 days without... And I just tell them, you know what you should do? Nothing. Nothing at all. And they're like, nothing? I'm like, yeah, nothing. And I go on to explain that, look, you are not the one that changes yourself. You do not have the power to stop all those bad habits that you think you have. Now, am I saying we shouldn't take responsibility for ourselves? We should. But you cannot change yourself. If you're the kind of person that gets angry a lot, it's like, you know, someone steps on your toe and and you want to change, you can't change by yourself. You can't. If you have certain challenges in your life, you know, you anything at all that you do in your life that you don't like, and it's like, man, I need to change this as a Christian or whatever, you cannot do it by yourself. So how does this work? This is the way it works. 2 things, I believe. One is the desire to want to change. Once you have that desire and you own up and say, look, I'm an angry person. I get ticked off quite a lot, but I don't like it. Once you own up, the next thing that one does is you consciously give yourself to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, help me to change because I have the desire. This thing that I've read to you now in Galatians chapter 3, verses 22 to 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. It's saying if you get anxious a lot, you get worried quite a lot, you get really, you know, phased out quite a lot. And you want to change that. You can't change it yourself. It says the Holy Spirit, there's something called the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us generates those things in our lives. And as we become conscious of that, and we do the normal things, as in we come, we gather like this, you just read your Bible when you can, you pray when you can, with the thing at the back of your mind that I really want to change, Holy Spirit, help me. What would happen is this. With that consciousness, and with you owning up, one day you will wake up and that thing will be gone. I'm telling you, it will disappear. I remember when I was much younger, I used to be quite fearful. Not is it fearful or anxious. I would wake up in the morning and I would think, okay, how about this? How about the economy? What would this happen? I was like, why am I thinking of all these things? Oh my goodness. But I couldn't help it. But when I became born again and I realized this, I was like, okay, I'm a bit fearful, a bit anxious, but God helped me with this. And as I became conscious of that, suddenly I woke up one morning and it was gone. How did it happen? The Holy Spirit did it in my life. So we're going to end here this morning and we'll just pray and we'll carry on. So I've said this morning that there is the supernatural comfort of the Holy Spirit that's available to each and every one of us. I've said that the Holy Spirit leads us in God's plan for us. And that he helps us to change and he helps us to overcome those things that bother us, like anxiety, fear, even some bad habits that we're not comfortable with. He helps us supernaturally to change and to overcome those things. So this morning, I'll just like us to rise and pray. And I've tried to really explain as simply as I can to let us know that, look, the Holy Spirit is not a spooky person. He's not someone that's out there. He's right here with you and with me so that we can walk daily with him, so he can change us, so that he can comfort us, so that he can strengthen us. The same way as if Jesus was just right beside you. Do you understand? That's the same way that the Holy Spirit is with you. So let's just spend some time praying this morning. And I just want us to, this is an individual thing, just really ask God and say, God, help me to know the Holy Spirit. I want my Christian life to be full. I want to really experience the joy of God. Help me to know the Holy Spirit. I'll just give us time to pray. It's really that simple that you can begin this deeper walk with God. You don't have to do anything extraordinary. You don't have to fast for 7 days or seven nights. You can start right now with him. Father, we just thank you for the working of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you because you said you will not leave us as orphans or comfortless, but that you have sent the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to us. Thank you for your care for us. Thank you that you care about even the little minute things in our lives, things that we probably wouldn't even have imagined that you would be concerned about. Thank you for caring about us so much. Father, I commit everyone that is here into your hands, and even those that are not here, that we will experience a deeper walk with the Holy Spirit. That the little things that bother us, that we think, oh, this is just too little, that you will help us with those things. For anyone who's overcoming any habit that they're not happy with, your word says that you change us. Help us to change. Remove anxiety from our hearts. Remove fear from our hearts. Bring comfort to the areas where we have experienced pain or where we're experiencing pain. In Jesus' name. And Father, I commit everyone that is that might be ill into your hands. Your word says in the book of Matthew 8:17 that you bore our sicknesses and infirmities. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 says, by your stripes we are healed. I speak healing to everyone who is experiencing any kind of pain in the name of Jesus. For the person who has pain on their left, is like on their left shin, I speak healing to it in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.